This is Cosmere Considered, a show about the deeper meanings, messages, and intricacies hidden within Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere. Today, we are starting our journey through Arcanum Unbounded, a collection of short stories and novellas written by Brandon Sanderson, but also written by Chrysalia, the in-world character who is known for writing the Ars Arcanum at the end of each book, and is also one of the main characters of the White Sand graphic novels. Get ready to consider the Cosmere. Each of our Arcanum Unbounded episodes will be broken into four specific sections. The first being information on the planet and world that is pertinent, things that we find important that Chrysalia mentions in her foreword of each short story. The second will be the magic system, an explanation brief of how the system works and exactly why the magic system may be important, so you can better understand the world. The third is a summary, a short summary of the book itself, with a spoiler warning about midway through so that you know you can get the basics of what happens, and then without hearing what the ending is, jump to the next section if you want to. And then the last is the greater ramifications that the information dump in each of these short stories has on the rest of the world. The story of the Emperor's Soul takes place on the planet Cell. This is the same planet where the story Elantris takes place. And first, we're going to cover what is important about the planet. The planet is larger than the Cosmere standard. It's 1.5 Cosmere standard size, meaning it's 50% larger than our planet Earth. And its gravity is slightly heavier at 1.2, the Cosmere standard. A quote from the book is, "Cell, home to multiple empires that uniquely have remained somewhat ignorant of one another. It is a willful kind of ignorance, with each of the three great domains pretending the others are mere blips on the map, barely worth notice." Now, it is a shard world in the Cosmere, and it is Disharic, meaning it is where we have devotion and dominion. Two shards came to this planet at once at the Shattering, and they ruled for some time, letting the nations and peoples worship them, discover the magic, and rise up as obviously their people's devotion and dominion let them access the magic. We don't know what happened historically here, but devotion and dominion were shattered, and their powerful investiture rests in the cognitive realm, and it is basically a plasma of investiture that destroys things that try to go through it. Some people can get in and out. It is very dangerous, but of course we know our friend Hoyd has gotten in and out because he does appear in the book Elantris, and he does appear in The Emperor's Soul. Now, let's talk about something that is important in just understanding the story. The three continents are kind of loosely based on different continents and people groups in our planet of Earth, and what you want to make sure you understand is that the Asian cultures that are represented in the Emperor's Soul are from Brandon's time as a missionary in South Korea. And he has taken these things that he has seen in the real world and adapted them into fantasy. And the way that he has built a magic system based entirely on the idea of stamps, of this stamp-making process, fits so well with devotion and dominion, because the magic systems on the planet of Cell in Elantris, and as well here in the Emperor's Soul, they're very difficult to access, and only a few people can. They have to either be reborn, quote unquote, as happens in Elantris, or they have to go through some ceremony, as they have to do with the Dakor, or they have to know so much basically magical writing that they use for their stamp making process. Let's cover the greater information so you can fully understand the magic system of forgery that is used by our main character and one of the antagonists in The Emperor's Soul. So the first thing is that in order to be a forger, you have to have a Mai Pawn bloodline. Now, this is very important. All of the magic systems on Cell require bloodline, and that has to do with Dominion, which is one of the shards on the planet. And then you also have to have some form of intent and intent to access the magic, and that comes through how you go about creating the soul stamps. Now, how this works is Wan Shailu can carve any forger can carve a stamp with certain symbols that make their intent known. So it's about that intent again. And they write out what they want to have happen. And when they stamp an object, it reaches through the realms, touches the object's soul, and rewrites its history. Wan Shailu does this to a window, a table, a chair, a floor, a rug, a mattress, a wall. And she recreates these objects' pasts in order to change their entire physical self. It's not a light weaving. It's not a lie. It is 100% their soul has been rewritten. Now, besides objects, you can also do this to flesh. There is a medical form called resealing, where someone has been injured greatly. You can stamp their body, and as long as you know the muscles, tendons, ligaments, veins, organs, where everything goes, you can rewrite how it's supposed to be fixed and heal the wound to their body. There is kind of an offshoot of this called blood sealing. And blood sealing, you need a separate bloodline. You can't be from Mai Pawn. You have to be from a different type of people group. And again, I can't remember it off the top of my head. But blood sealing is where you use blood as ink on generally crude-made stamps in order to track or focus on, or basically it is as dark as it sounds. You cut someone's arm, they bleed, you ink a stamp, you stamp something, and you can use it as a ward or a beacon or a tracking device. There's many uses that we can't see, but we do get to see two specific ones in the book. And then the most important, and I think the most important to the Cosmere, is the ability to forge souls. Wan Shailu can take one of her five soul marks, ink it and stamp it into herself, and it reaches through the realms, touches her soul, and rewrites her own history. So she can change who she was in the past. And this is very important to the Cosmere as a whole and important to the story. And again, it is the connection through your dominion, through your bloodline, and your intent, your devotion, and your knowledge. So this knowledge-based art is incredibly difficult to pull off. Wan Shailu has to be able to know how to carve wood, know how to paint oils, know how to make forged signatures, know how to do all sorts of the things. Anything she needs to do, stone classification, anything she needs to affect with a soul stamp, she has to understand on a fundamental level. Not as fundamental as atoms, but as fundamental as the object itself. And so she is a master artisan and researcher. She is brilliant, and all of that goes into her ability to manipulate the souls of people. And people around her, generally not easy to manipulate, because you have to understand someone's soul to manipulate them. So she can manipulate herself, and then you'll hear how she learns to manipulate the Emperor's soul in the book. The Emperor's Soul is a relatively short section of the book, and it is actually sold as its own book. You can buy it just on its own as a little paperback, and it's a great read. I really suggest it. It's the easiest story for me to re-listen to because I feel like I get so much out of it each time. But to give you just kind of a general rundown of the story, we will of course start in the beginning. Wan Shailu is in prison. She is attempting to steal the Moon Scepter from the Imperial Palace and Museum, and she is betrayed by the Imperial Fool. Now, if you're paying attention, the Imperial Fool is Hoid. Hoid stole the Moon Scepter while working with Wan Shailu and presumably left world with it. We know that in Elantris, Hoid was trying to become an Elantrian somehow, and he wasn't quite able to make it work. The Moon Scepter was his next best thing, because the Moon Scepter is like a Rosetta Stone for the magic systems on the planet of Cell. So he took the Moon Scepter and made off, leaving Wan Shailu to be captured. What's fortunate for Wan Shailu is instead of death, the arbiters, the leaders of the empire, need her, and they need her unholy skills. The emperor has taken a crossbow bolt to the head, and he is brain dead. His body is still functioning. It has been repaired by resealers, people who use forgery in order to heal bones, blood vessels, tissues, and other organs. So he's whole, but as the book says, he is like a book that's been through a fire. You can repair the book, but the words aren't there. And they need Wan Shailu to stamp a soul into his body. Of course, she agrees to try this, only so that she can have more time to escape. They know that this is her plan, while they're hoping that she will actually try to do the thing that they've hired her to do. But she actually falls in love with the project. And while going through all this work, working with Arbiter Gao Tona, who is a friend of the Emperor, and against Arbiter Frava, who basically is trying to use the Emperor as a puppet to control everything herself, we see that she really does fall for this project and kind of throws her whole soul into it in an attempt to create this person, a new soul, or remake an old soul for the same body. Spoilers, if you want to skip to the next section and not know how it ends, please just skip to the next section. Wan Shailu succeeds. She ends up creating the Emperor's soul after a bunch of different trials of stamps, stamping hundreds of stamps onto Arbiter Gao Tona in order to see if they take just a little bit. If you want the details on how that works, you'll have to read the book. And then she makes her escape. She stamps the Emperor, and his soul adheres to his body. Or not his soul, a new soul. The Emperor's new soul adheres to his body. Now, there is some discourse online about whether or not this makes him a Type 2 invested entity or a Type 3, similar to a Returned, possibly, similar to Zeth, where his soul is kind of nailed to his body, basically making him immortal. So my theory is that Wan Shailu has accidentally made the Emperor immortal, and she doesn't like the Empire. So we'll see how that goes further down the line. I hope we get kind of a revisit of the character Wan Shailu in another novella, if not a full novel. Now, after stamping the Emperor's soul, having him wake up and not understand who she is, and her kind of feeling heartbroken because she knows this man better than anyone, even himself, knows him, she needs to make her escape. So she gets her essence marks back from Gao Tona, who has kind of fallen for her in a father-daughter kind of way. Her essence marks she uses to stamp her own soul and rewrite her own past. One of them makes her a scholar, one of them makes her a woodswoman, and one of them turns her into a fighter and a practitioner of martial arts. She slams the stamp into her arm, and her body, physicality changes, and she becomes a warrior. She takes down some living skeletons and makes her escape on the nicest horse with a fine masterpiece artwork painting in her saddle, and makes her way off into the mountains. And that's a summary of The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson. Why did Brandon write this book? Now, that's a ridiculous question to ask. No one needs a reason to do anything. But Brandon seems to have specific reasons for everything he does. And he makes a point to make stories so that he can better understand his own world. And so that he can prepare himself for future writings. He wrote about religion in Elantris, I think partially because he knows religion, but it also gave him a lot of experience writing religion so he could fully build the different religions on Roshar, his main series planet, so that they are built well enough to fit exactly what his story needs to facilitate with heresy and sexism and Dalinar basically becoming... spoilers. But if you know, then you know. So Brandon wrote this for the understanding of a new magic system. He wrote this to expand on a planet that was his first planet to get published in his Cosmere. And he wrote it because having a scholar as a main character is an incredibly interesting thing to do. And he also writes a little blurb about how he wanted to use stamps as a magic system just because it intrigued him so much on his visit to other parts of the world, different Asian, East Asian countries, to see what exactly this type of art was like and how he could use it in his own stories. How does this affect the Cosmere? Now, I think this novella has a greater effect on the Cosmere than maybe anyone is willing to admit. The ability to rewrite the past is not something we have yet seen with any other power. Tons of abilities, moving planets, affecting great change on a planet scale, you know, just transforming, terraforming, all sorts of things happening on different planets. We have the massive invested high storms on Roshar, and there's a lot of magic. The powers in Warbreaker are intriguing and interesting. And, you know, near immortality exists there. There's a lot. But the ability to rewrite the past is a dangerous power to bring into the playing field. And the reason it's important is because we know Hoid was there. If you can picture with me, Hoid has worked his way for through several books, acquiring all different forms of magic in an attempt to do something. And having the ability to rewrite the past seems like something Hoid would use greatly to his advantage. And I have a feeling this is something that is going to come up in the future. So just think about how important that is. And then think about how the power to physically stamp an object and change its past is something that could be taken to other worlds. This power, this ability to stamp, is fueled by the door, the combination of devotion and dominion's shattered essences and power that surround the planet. But if that stamp is taken and fed a different form of investiture elsewhere, it should still function. But the stamp itself doesn't carry any investiture, which means it should be able to travel off-world with complete ease, as the birds that we've seen so far in different books can travel from Dromenad to Roshar. That pretty much covers the Emperor's Soul. There isn't a ton more that goes into it, but it is a beautiful and a fairly interesting story to read. And as I said before, it's the easiest one for me to reread because it's short and the audiobook is also well made. This has been Cosmere Considered. Today we talked about the Emperor's Soul. Go ahead and head to our Instagram, give us a like, follow, check out our YouTube page where you can see some of our archived episodes. And remember, consider the Cosmere and how it affects your life in the real world. Welcome to this week's episode of Cosmere Considered, where we talk about the deeper meanings, messages, and intricacies hidden within Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere. This week, we are finally getting to Mistborn Secret History. Major spoilers for the Mistborn trilogy, and a minor spoiler, according to Brandon, for Wax and Wayne Book 3. Without further ado, let's get into why Mistborn's Secret History is a fan favorite and quite an amazing, wonderful dive into the Cosmere.